and welcome to the 14th episode of All Things Crypto, an Elk Finance podcast. I'm Shiloh, also known as LT Snake Plissken.
And I am Fareed.
And we've also got Josh from the Elk TikTok. That's elk.finance if you want to find us. Say hi, Josh.
Hi, Josh.
So today we're talking about Web3.
Please keep in mind, we are not financial advisors, and this is not a financial advice. If you're looking for a financial advice, please find a licensed advisor in your area.
And go.
Let's start with the first question. What is Web3?
Well, Web3 is kind of an iteration of the internet. So it's right now it's kind of an idea. So imagine if the internet was more decentralized. Right now, big tech companies own large servers, which really house all the data on the internet. You go to a website, you're connecting to somebody's physical machine somewhere, and if you're Google, you're connecting to Google server. If you're on Facebook, you're connecting to Facebook server, and so on. So the Web3 was coined by a fella named Gavin Wood, who you might know, being that you're listening to a crypto podcast. He's one of the founders of Ethereum. So he said that this came after Web2. So it's kind of an iteration of the internet wherein everything is in, a different place. There's not, the whole internet isn't in, one spot or two, but it's kind of in a few different places. But right now it's kind of conglomerated into, a very centralized kind of format. There are, some servers that aren't centralized. I can set one up from my house, but I'm the only one that's going to be able to use it. And when I do, I'm having all of my data on there that people are accessing. Everything that you use to access my website is on my machine. So even in essence, that's also centralized. How that might look with Web3 is that there's several servers with pieces of this information. So when you access it, you're actually accessing a few different areas. So if you take down one of them, the whole website doesn't go, away. You don't get those 404s in the same way you would as before, like when the page goes down and nothing loads. So that's kind of the idea of Web3.
So I guess like something that many people might be asking themselves right now, because even I am, what is Web2?
Well, Web2 was a term actually coined in 1999.
I was a baby back then.
Yeah, for sure.
I didn't exist.
For listeners, he's five.
Yeah, he was 5 years old. Yeah. He bloomed early. But Web2 was kind of the move from a static website where you just kind of looked at things. Like you looked up a GeoCities website or something. Well, even, and it just told you about something. You just accessed information. But Web2 was when you started being able to interact. So think of Web2 as like social media. So anything you post to Instagram, that's Web2, Facebook, anything like that. Anything where you're inputting something and usually sharing it with others or interacting with the website, that is Web2. Whereas when Web 1.0, you're kind of like, just observing. Picture it like if you were watching a television show versus playing a video game. So that was kind of the Web 1 to Web 2. And the term Web 1, of course, was only coined after Web 2 was kind of established. There's no firm date. It's kind of a colloquialism. So, it's just a word for an era that had no particular day. Oh, today is the day that we launched Web 2. It was never established.
So in a Web3, how would it change things?
So, yeah, Web3, the idea with decentralization, the biggest, one of the biggest, like I said before, is you can't take it down by taking down one server. A power could go out in an area, a government could crack down and decide to shut these things off right now. And you shut off, a certain section of servers. Usually that's, a whole website or a platform. But if it's decentralized, that is up in multiple different places. So if that happens, it doesn't all go down. The other thing here is privacy, right? So when you're browsing in a decentralized form, it's a little bit more secure. There's no central server to just track everybody interacting with it, because chances are you are interacting from multiple servers as well. So people can really, you know, take advantage of that. So that's maybe one of the pitfalls of Web3, is some people worry that it would allow more illicit things to happen on the internet if it's harder to control. But at the same time, it's kind of the power of the people a little bit. So servers are a little bit more secure, and they're harder to attack if you've got them in multiple places. So that's kind of one of the biggest changes that I think would take place.
So it's pretty interesting. So you're saying that it's more private, it's more secure. So I guess I have a question about this, because I read somewhere that it doesn't really exist. Does it exist?
Yeah, well, that's a good question.
Like, I read it in the same place too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, we all read a Bloomberg article
before. I know how to read.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
He does. I've seen him do it. Yeah. So about Web3, does it exist? Well, it exists in the same format, I think, as Web2 did when it began. Think of, that website you were reading something, but then all of a sudden there was a suggestion box where you could suggest to the author of the website other articles to... for them to share, and they posted that message, in a section of their website. So you wouldn't really think of that as social media, but the user is directly contributing and modifying something on the website and contributing to the database in a way that they would want. And so it's kind of like in the beginning stages, right? And Web3 really is what cryptocurrency is built on. That's the blockchain. Mm-hmm. So in case you haven't put it together yet, that's the real thing. And is crypto a real thing? Well, I mean, we've kind of had this discussion before. Well, okay, in terms of money, is money even real, right? And we could go down that rabbit hole. But I think, of course, it does exist, but it's not, it's in its infancy. So it doesn't contain all of the potential. It hasn't fulfilled all that potential that they've been talking about, because it's in its beginning. And that's why everyone's looking at the possible advantages, disadvantages. They're skeptics, just like there were before the internet existed, or when the internet was in its early stages. You look at DARPA, when it went from DARPA to the World Wide Web. People are like, even during that transition, people are like, no one's going to use this. Who can afford a computer? We were seeing the same kind of arguments now, like, oh man, who can understand this whole blockchain thing? You got to be like a developer to understand. Who's going to buy cryptocurrency? Like, nobody wants to spend their money,
He's making fun of me, by the way.
Yeah.
Whatever I get it. Like, who's going to buy this? Who's going to use this?
Who's going to buy it?
And the day after, I love this.
Yeah, it was my idea.
So do you think, I think about kind of Web3 and where we're going with this. And obviously, at any given point during humanity's history, whenever something new comes along, it's always met with resistance. So are we like on the cusp of seeing this grow, Web3 taking off, because of the resistance that is being given to it right now?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know if it's necessarily because of the resistance that it's going to take off, but I think the resistance is a sure sign that it is taking off. If something isn't taking off, there isn't anyone to resist it, because most people are against it. When you've got, some different camps and you've got this much capital locked into something like the blockchain, I mean, it's hard to say that it isn't taking off. Mm-hmm. No one's risking that much, financial gain or not gain to have something that's not going to be innovative. The funny thing is, and we always talk about the blockchain and Web3 like as tokens and crypto, but it actually doesn't have to be. The blockchain can be used in a lot of different ways. And just because you have a token and a blockchain, or you're storing data on a blockchain, doesn't even really mean you need to spend any money. Anyone can set up their own blockchain if they know how. There's toolkits and tutorials online for all of this. And you, I mean, it's sure probably easier if you're a developer, but you don't necessarily have to be. It's something you can learn. And even something like this, to be able to store data, doesn't necessarily have to, in theory, cost a ton of money, right? I mean, we could look at infrastructure like Wikipedia, which is currently kind of, back in Web 2.0 for the most part, right? But this platform could exist somewhere supplemented by charity or foundation to like continue the world's knowledge, I think. So it's just a different format and it's looking at it in a different way. And I always compare it to BitTorrent. If anyone's ever used BitTorrent to download something perfectly legal, right. As we all do, of course,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, always.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They're listening.
Yeah, they're listening. And that's why we're reassuring.
No, very interesting, though, to see how the big tech is going to react to this.
Yeah, yeah.
Because now you're just basically taking away these data mining machines, mm-hmm. which are predicting what we're going to do and just giving the power back to people.
Yeah, and that's the idea. So I think it's hard to say what that's going to look like. I mean, usually when there's a big tech innovation and we see resistance, if that tech innovation is better and it's the people's choice and they move to it, that's where the bigger companies can get left behind, no matter how innovative they think they are or how established. So it's going to be really interesting to see what happens with it. Now, if I were to guess, I would say, and currently this is happening. You look at Microsoft Azure and Amazon, the AWS, right? Their servers infrastructure, and they are actually already getting in on some of this Web3 stuff, this blockchain technology, the decentralization. Mm-hmm. So my guess is they're probably gonna try to buy up as much of it as they can or invest and try to get a spot, right? So that, in a sense, there's a risk of, doing that and then it becoming more centralized in that platform. But the beauty of it is we can choose to used more decentralized versions of the same things.
Yeah.
So
it is very interesting, because right now when you're looking at a big tech, it's just like you have very limited options. But I think by the time the development is done and fully deployed, you're going to have a lot of more choices, which makes it more more appealing to a lot of people who are advocating for privacy.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know, privacy, guys, is very close to my heart, because I feel that sometimes that we are being watched by these big techs every click
we
do in front of our computers. Yeah. And just like, it kind of pisses me off.
Yeah, totally.
So, yeah, I mean, is Farid your real name?
It's not. Actually, I want to complain. It's Jonathan.
I knew that.
Yeah,
you do kind of look like a Jonathan. I say that. Yeah, I have something, I guess I've been thinking about this for a while. Now, do you guys think that when certain, technologies come out, some of them die, obviously, right? Because they're not adopted by the masses.
Mm-hmm.
But do you think that there is an industry out there that has adopted or is starting to adopt Web3 that will give it that extra push to become mainstream?
Well, I mean, I think blockchain technology, like I said before, like Microsoft, but even the big companies that have been born out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You look at, big centralized exchanges like Coinbase and Binance.
Mm-hmm.
They were born out of the blockchain,
mm-hmm.
and they're mega powerful, and they're bigger than a lot of a lot of companies that existed before them. Sure, they're not Google. But you can even see Google taking a step towards these things. Everyone's talking about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's not something that they would consider unless it were something that had its advantages. Mm-hmm. Of course, the emperor has no clothes, right? We just think that it must be a big thing because, we're just going to go along with it? I don't know. I think I think it's for real. I think having interacted with the blockchain, it's difficult right now for most, right? And DeFi in general, right? Mm-hmm. Getting in and adopting it. But that's because we're not in a place where we can see what the future is going to look like. Mm-hmm. How is this going to look great with a nice UI and an interface that everyone can understand and use? Mm-hmm. When, imagine, you know, in 10 years when grandma's using the blockchain, right? I mean, it's hard to imagine.
Yeah. You know, like I think as funny as it does sound, there is an industry that I have noticed that is taking notice and is starting to use it. As much as we want to poke fun to the sex industry or whatever you want to call it. I mean, the other day I was just walking by a strip joint. Guys, I was just walking by. Uh-huh. Seriously, I wasn't there. I wasn't.
He's five. He's under.
Yeah, I can't go in. But I actually, when I was in this, I was at this amazing bachelor party. I noted that there was a Bitcoin ATM at the strippers.
Huh.
And then you think of that in conjunction with the rise of OnlyFans.
Yeah, yeah.
The rise of Patreon.
Yeah.
Like, that's literally Web3 being used for the oldest industry in the history of mankind. Yeah. And if that isn't a sign that Web3 is being adopted, then I don't know what is. I mean,
that's really interesting.
Yeah,
crazy.
It's just an observation that I had when I was randomly walking by.
I'm sure that was the only thing you observed.
It's the only thing that I observed.
Yeah.
It was more educational.
Actually, you know what? You're right.
It was for research.
It was
science.
I was there, actually. He was
he was on the stage.
Yeah.
he was grabbing all the Bitcoin. Yeah. He didn't see anyone.
To help there.
Yeah. That's great. So I think there's a lot of possibilities to come, and I hope we kind of defined, you know, Web3 enough, because it is something that lacks a little bit of clarity and definition, and we're kind of at the forefront now. We're not sure what this is going to look like, but we know it's going to be big. So I think this is a future that we'll have to see how it's realized.
Yeah, I mean, fast we are moving in the technology, mm-hmm. since I don't think it's going to be like Web2 going from 1999 to now.
No.
And I think maybe, I don't know, next year or a couple of years down the road, we're going to see how it's going to be deployed.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. So, I think we're just kind of at the building stage right now. So we'll kind of see where that goes.
Yeah.
Perfect.
All right.
Thank you very much, guys, for joining us tonight.
All right. Have a good one.